All right, dominate DraftKings and FanDuel Major League Baseball contest this summer with Daily Roto's Major League Projections and Optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium and save 10% with the promo code FNTSY to use all the same tools and projections that Millionaire Maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And the tools don't just work for football. This is the same site that Drew used for last year's top five $150,000 DraftKings Live final finish. So head on over to dailyroto.com/premium, save 10% with the promo code FNTSY, and see the results for yourself. So Greggy is out. The bald-headed stooge is in. Good morning, Scotty. How are you?
Good morning, Costanza. Thanks for having me. Good to be here. I had a very fun and busy weekend.
I heard you went to a Kiss thingy.
Yeah, I went to the Gene Simmons Vault Experience on Saturday. You can check out more at GeneSimmonsVault.com. It's actually it's a personal experience for fans in which you pay $2,000 and Gene personally delivers you a vault of 160 unreleased songs from his entire career along with collectibles. You get to spend time with him. It's a very intimate experience. And Peter Criss actually showed up to see Gene for like the first time, only the second time in 14 years.
Wow.
Say what you want about that guy, but he's a marketing genius. Yeah.
It is. $2,000. You get to spend 5 minutes with him. You get an intimate concert and all the diehard fans who are willing to pay for it. And for $50,000,
Tony, I don't know about you, but I'm not spending.
Actually, for $50,000, you can actually have him come to your house then deliver it.
I'm not spending $2,000 to spend with anybody.
Let me ask a question, Mike. Let's put this in perspective. Would you spend $2,000 for Carrie Underwood to give you a lap dance while she performs your favorite song?
No.
He's thinking about it.
No,
you're thinking
I'm
about
not
it.
Spending $2,000 for 5 minutes with anybody. There's no way.
I agree with you that I wouldn't do it either. I'm just pointing that out. How about you? Well, you're from Canada. Canada, Chris, would you take Carrie Underwood for 5 minutes dancing her favorite song?
How about Bieber?
I'd put it a little bit longer than 10. That's an immediate no. I'm going to shut that down right away, the Bieber. Scott, does anybody pay $50,000 to have him come over to the house? I mean, that's crazy.
Somebody actually did. And in Miami.
Oh, Lou?
Miami, like, I think he was running in loose circles, and the guy was friends with Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice showed up to this thing. But most people are doing the $2,000 one, which is, if I was more wealthy, I would have done it. But, I was able to get media access, and it was a fun time.
Right. Yeah, but, Scott, how about this? How about you just go to the guy who paid the $2,000, and he gets the exclusive songs, unreleased songs and stuff, and you give him, like, $50 to give you a copy of it, like record them.
And
send you an MP3.
When you buy the Gene Simmons vault, you sign a legal document that you are not allowed to share it. And for some reason, the music, they've been very tight on it. The music has not leaked out whatsoever on the internet.
Stormy Daniels signed a legal document, too. How's that working?
Well, believe me, let me tell you something. If that music was somewhere on the internet, I would have heard it already, and I have not. But if you're a diehard Kiss fan, I think
tight bond, fans sticking together. I like it.
I guess so. So, Scott, did you get hit by a baseball this weekend on line drive? Everybody, what is with all these pitchers getting hit with balls? Are the Giants, San Francisco Giants, Scott, are they already out of it? Season over?
I think so. When you look at San Francisco, they're losing Bumgarner maybe till at least Memorial Day. Samard is already out. And then when you look at that depth chart, the Giants lost 98 games last year and then tried to kind of patch it together with Andrew McCutchen and Evan Longoria, who are good clubhouse guys and et cetera, but are kind of past their prime. But any hope they had of rebounding from a 98-win season really depended on the pitching. And now you lose Bumgarner. Now Samard is out for a little while. Johnny Cueto isn't what he is. And baseball's a long season. You can rebound, but they come out of the gate facing the Nationals and the Dodgers. Well, actually, the Dodgers first. And I think for a team that won three World Series in 6 years, and then you have Mark Melancon coming back from the forearm injury, I think there are too many ifs for this team to retain any respectability. McCutcheon's not what he is. Austin Jackson's a defensive player. Hunter Pence is done. He's fried. Evan Longoria is not what he used to be. They were hoping for a rebound from Joe Panic. And Buster Posey is not what he is either. So I think an era for them to retain any respectability, I think, you know, it could already be out the door.
Tony, was he the only one, Bumgarner, who was actually, like, hurt from these balls getting hit back?
The ball's getting hit back. There's another big injury with Denelson Lamet of a fantasy perspective. But here's what I would say. If you're drafting the next 3 days, I would draft Bumgarner around 10. Mike, you played baseball. I've been thinking about this a lot the last 2 days.
No, you need the pinky, Tony. Don't do the pinky.
I'm telling you right now, there are certain pitches you could throw without the pinky. I think.
Dude, who was the pitcher he pitched? I think for the Marlins, he actually had a sixth finger. Who was that? There was a pitcher who had a sixth finger.
It was a relief pitcher. Yeah. It was a relief pitcher.
Yeah, he started with an A. I can't remember his name. He was a right-handed pitcher. And somebody Google that and look it up. Pitcher six fingers.
Alfonseca?
Antonio Alfonseca.
He was a closer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need it. Tony, you need it. And also, there's got to be, I don't know what they're going to have it on, like, because it's got to be straight. The way the hand comes through, if you could have maybe nothing on it, but it does touch the ball and it affects the way the ball moves. You know, I don't know. That.
This guy's from the
woods in North Carolina. If you stay out to June 1st with a pinky injury, he's not the guy I thought he would be. He's a disappointment to all those people in the rural.
Well, if he cuts it off, if you just get rid of it, you're okay. But if it's on there and it gets in the way, if you got a splint on it or whatever the heck you got, I imagine you could tape it to the one next to it.
Yeah, take some pills. Kill the pain. This is like, I'm thinking about, for 2 days, this has bothered me that he'd be out with a pinky injury. Because I think about myself, there's no way I could look in the mirror saying, I got a pinky injury and I can't play. That's ridiculous.
If it was one of the other fingers, okay, the fact that it's his pinkies.
Yeah, no, but that's what that's my thinking, right? Because
that's like he has a cut on his earlobe? What?
The two fingers to your closest to your thumb. And your thumb are used a ton in throwing pitches. The pinky, like you said, just guides the ball. It's almost like it's there just to guide the ball. So there's going to be a little pain, but you can soak that up.
See, I remember Ed Belfour, who, you know, played in goal. I remember he missed 2 weeks because of a hangnail once, and it was on his blocker hand. And I thought he was, you know, I got to suck it up, Ed Belfour. Like, it's not on your catching hand. It's on your blocker hand. Like, you're just holding the stick. You're just keeping it right there. There's no reason that you should be missing 2 to 3 weeks because of a hangnail.
I think the wackiest baseball injury that I ever heard of, there's a JT Snow was sitting in the dugout, former San Francisco Giants first baseman, and he was gesturing to a reporter, and he scratched his own eyeball and missed 2 days.
I don't know if that's wackier than Vince Coleman getting run over by the tarp.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of wacky, but at least you understand the missing time, though.
Glenn Allen Hill was bit by a spider.
How about getting hit in the head by your own teammate?
Yeah, that's called steroids.
Gene Segura was on the dugout once. It's steroids. Gene Segura was on, not even in the on-deck circle, just on the top of the stairs in the dugout, and Ryan Braun hit him in the head swinging a baseball bat. His own teammate knocked him out. That's pretty bad.
It might have been intentional.
It may have been, yeah. Who knows?
They don't call him the Hebrew Hammer for nothing. Yeah. So what do you guys make of Ohtani here? I thought at one point they were going to send him down. He wasn't going to make the team. But, you know, his fastball's touching 98. And then they say, you know, every time he strikes somebody out, Twitter goes abuzz and you see GIFs of the damn thing. Apparently they're steadfast. He's going to DH right from the get-go. But what do we make about this guy? He's 23 years old. He doesn't speak the language. They say he's the first true two-way player in 99 years. Does he have any chance of succeeding, or is he going to be a pitcher only? Tony, let's go with you first.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a pitcher only. I saw some of the video before, and I thought he had a long swing. I didn't see it happening. I think this is going to be a joke. Here's the thing that people don't realize. that Ohtani's different than every other Japanese player that's come over. The other players were at the end of their careers. He's 23. He's still going to get better. I think this guy finishes top five in baseball in strikeouts. I think he has a high whip. He's going to walk some people. I think he's going to be the top five in strikeouts, and I think he's going to hit under 200, and the Angels are going to have to stop this before the season ends, the whole DH thing.
Yeah,
but Chris, even if he is successful with the strikeout, the ratio, he's going to pitch, what, every sixth day or something like that? How could he get to top five that way?
Well,
K per nine.
They
could change things. I mean, they're going to start out as a six-man rotation, but, I mean, part of the reason that they're going to do a six-man rotation, I mean, you have the arm issue with Ohtani, but everybody else in that staff has had issues as well. I mean, Andrew Haney is now hurt. Skaggs has been hurt numerous times. Garrett Richards has been hurt. Shoemaker's been hurt. So, actually, everybody inside that rotation has been hurt. So, there's an opportunity if Ohtani starts off strong, gets into a bit of a groove, and starts feeling it. I mean, Tony said he's 23 years old. The guy still has a lot to learn, and some scouts say he's never seen a big league curveball until over the past couple weeks. So it's going to take some time for him. I mean, he's not seeing the same kind of pitching that he saw, you know, in Japan. This is completely different for him. So I think it's going to take some time. The over-under on wins for him is set at 10, and I thought that's really low. This Angels team has much improved the offense. They filled the holes in left field with Justin Upton. They ran Ian Kinsler, who they've never had a real true leadoff guy for years, ever since Trout has been around. So they put him at second, Cozart at third. They got some guys now. I think that's a solid over-under win total at 10. I think we'll see him swing the bat a little bit less. I think that they'll see over the first month or so that he just cannot hit major league pitching. It's going to take some time. I think they'll focus on him just being a pitcher. I'm with Tony. Cape or not, I think it's going to be top 10. I think that's a good bet, and I take that over on 10 wins for sure.
Hey, Scott, which fantasy site got it right on the way they treat him?
I think any site that pretty much made him a hitter and a pitcher. He's really two separate guys, two separate skill sets, et cetera. And then you create roster confusion because if you make him one guy and you're saying you can draft 23 starters, well, you know, is he at a 23rd or a 24th starter or both? So I think fantasy sites that have separated him have gotten him right, because this guy could turn out to just be a real pitcher more than a hitter. And, you know, you want to get the value as a pitcher, because I think he'll evolve quicker as a pitcher than he will as a hitter.
And people are afraid of him. I did two drafts last night where, you know, a couple weeks ago, this guy was going as a top 20 pitcher, and he's not now. People are afraid of him. They've seen the spring. They hear the buzz. You know, they see him get rocked, you know, giving up some big, long bombs. And they're afraid of him now. But now I think he's going perfectly in drafts as somebody who can return some nice upside with the Ks. And it's much like any other pitcher after the first 20 or so. They get in trouble with the bombs and home runs, and they're a threat to get hurt. But he's got that strikeout upside. He can help you out.
Hey, you know, Tony, before we move on to some NFL news here, I'm looking here at a story here. Major League Baseball suspended Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, for 15 games for violating domestic violence policy. So how does this work? I mean, Major League Baseball has a policy that you're not allowed to physically accost your domestic partner? I mean, but, like, my point is, aren't there laws against this? Like, if you do something, shouldn't the law govern what happens to you? You should get prosecuted or pay a fine or do it, because the charges were dismissed. So now this is like Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah. How is it that the employer, in other words, once the legal system takes care of you, either throws you in jail, gives you the death penalty, lets you go, no matter what it is that they do, does that not govern? Why are these leagues then decide to take disciplinary action when it's really the states or the federal government that should? Now, I'm not saying Ezekiel Elliott was a saint or anything, but if charges weren't pressed, then why did the league press charges? And in this instance here, too, if charges aren't pressed, then why is the league taking it into their own hands? If it's okay by the law, But you can't go to work?
It's gotten more and more where the leagues are basically dictating policy, right? The funniest thing is,
by the way, Tony, maybe the government is doing a poor job. Maybe he should be in jail or whatever. That's not my point. I'm not trying to be insensitive about the topic. My point is whatever happens to him should be controlled by law. Period. End of story.
Right. I think that when you look at it, though, what happens here is that they think the law is not doing, and they're affecting the brand of Major League Baseball. Now, we can argue that point, and we can argue it not. We just talked about Albert Joey Bell going into the Hall of Fame. It seems like they're overstepping their reach, but the leagues are doing this more and more because they believe that these players are giving them a black eye from some of these off-the-field issues.
And he's not going to serve the suspension for, I think, quite some time because he's hurt, and that won't count. Like, if he's hurt and he starts the season on the DL, that doesn't even go towards the games. But
he's hurt. How does a knuckleball pitcher get hurt? What is he hurt at?
He hurt his knee last year.
Doing what?
Didn't R.A. Dickey spend some time in the DL?
That right knuckle, Mike, is hurt. Banged up.
Yeah, they were hanging out
with
the
pinky.
Well.
We got Steven Wright out with a bad knuckle. No, I think it's a knee injury for him. Yeah, I think Dickey missed some time as well. It's weird to hear these knuckleball pitchers miss time, but it's usually because of a knee.
Just because you don't throw fast doesn't mean you're not doing something physical.
No, it's because of the bad beds in the hotel room.
Hey, every 3 minutes an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a comparable bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/FNTSY today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them, and that's it. You're done. DKMS will then try to match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can actually save someone's life. Not metaphorically, but quite literally. Check out dkms.org/FNTSY to see how you can help.
Do you love watching your fantasy players score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The Fan Controlled Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans with real professional football players running the action. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
You know, this is mind-boggling. If the listeners could hear what we talk about during commercial breaks, we're arguing about NASCAR and if they should be able to race in inclement weather. And my point is, even snails can race. Just be responsible and go slower. It's still a race.
It's not that.
Why would you cancel the damn thing?
First off, even as a regular driver, if it's raining, right? What happens to your vision? Number one,
slower. You're more cautious because of everything.
NASCAR, instead of racing at 198 miles an hour, 50 mile an hour racing.
These cars,
but you balance the risk. So if somebody wants to do 198 and he's going to crash, the guy who goes 150 and finishes the race, he's probably going to win.
Planning going to one race when the rain comes, it affects
it's strategery,
everything.
Scott.
The tires, the handling, everything.
It's sad to say, like, if it was an event where it was just downpouring, it would have the highest ratings across.
I agree.
Ever, probably.
I agree.
Bavona, where do you stand with this? I want to hear from Bavona. I want his opinion. I need a ruling. Why are we canceling races? They
Three
can't drive.
Know
they
don't have windshield wipers. NASCAR drivers? Weighing in. How about that?
Wait, listen. Bavona drives. He gets gas.
It's
He's had
not
a tire
the same.
Change before.
It's not the same as rate driving on the highway. You don't get it.
Bavona, should you be racing in all weather? Maybe Chris is not with us. All right.
Well, I'm right here. What's up?
What is he doing? What's up?
What is your opinion on driving racing? Should they be canceling races because of the weather, or should it's just race, whatever it is?
You know,
it's cold.
You know, the funny thing is, I think it depends. I would love to see what would happen if the races would be played, would be driven in inclement weather, because I just think that would be just so exciting to see a race in the snow. I would love to
see
that.
We agree with you, Chris.
Yeah, you're not alone, everyone. Now, Scott, is this on NASCAR? I mean, I know the scheduling is always pretty much the same, but to schedule a race this early, I mean, is that on NASCAR to do something like this? Because this is something
that
may continue to happen. I mean, with the weather.
Wasn't Daytona 500 the first race?
This happens throughout the season where, there'll be rain and they'll move the race back to the next day.
Okay.
you know, it really has nothing to do with the time. Actually, there was snow yesterday, so, you know.
Yeah, a lot of snow. That'd be even better.
Yeah.
Racing the snow.
All right. All right, let's go to the NFL. The NFL owners had meetings in Orlando last week. And, you know, one of the interesting things that I saw was John Mara responding to a reporter who was asking him questions about the video of Odell Beckham in bed with this woman, I guess apparently enjoying some cocaine. And his response was, I guess my response to that is that I'm tired of answering questions about Odell's behavior. He knows what's expected of him, and now it's up to him. Well, if he's tired of answering questions about his behavior, why doesn't he do something about it? Like, why doesn't he just suspend him or say, you're not playing for me, or do something? He works for you. You have absolutely no control over him whatsoever. To me, that's a lame cop-out answer. No?
I don't know. I look at it like this.
Would you sign Odell long term?
If you
were an owner, you would?
I would, yeah. I just think that goes on a lot. Like, people, there's a lot of players that take cocaine. There's a lot of players that spend time with women. There's a lot of players that go to Miami on their off weeks. And Odell Beckham just likes to see it on social media. And it's just the way it is today. Here's the reason, though. That team is a 2-3-win team without him, and they're a 10-win team with him, and I can't get there anywhere else, so I got to put up with the BS.
You put up with him for another year, right? The window is open right now.
When the Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul, talked about, you know, wanting to have a culture change and a culture shift, about how Pierre-Paul lost the locker room and wasn't the leader that he felt that he was supposed to be for his salary in addition to his production on the field. And now nobody on the Giants is safe. But you have to remember that, you know, how many receivers have we seen over the years that are immature, they're divas? I think it comes with the position. Odell Beckham Jr. is still a very young guy. He's got some growing up to do, I think. But, you know, what he does on the field, I think you really can't replace. And it would be a huge mistake for the Giants to get rid of him. They need to continue to build that. This is the superstar. This is their marketing guy. He's the crux of the team on and off the field.
You feel comfortable,
Tony,
though,
you know,
Scott,
what my
making
thought
him
was?
The highest? Go ahead.
No. My first thought when he said Jason Pierre-Paul was, he's no Madison Bumgarner.
No, he's not. He'll play.
Yeah, but those are different.
He'll play.
I know. Those are more important digits. They're more important digits than Bumgarner lost. Those are.
Chris, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No. I was just going to ask Scott. Like, would you feel comfortable, you know, being the owner and being the GM and where the Giants are and looking that you have one win? What, your window is closing. Let's be honest here with Eli. I don't know what they're going to do in the two spot. They're a wild card, but with their window is closing, and you're going to make Odell Beckham Jr. the highest paid player in football when you don't have a bright future, really.
There's no window without Odell Beckham Jr. We saw how bad the Giants were without him last year, and he's young enough to open up a new window in the future if they're building other pieces.
Yeah, you don't have to make him the highest player.
But that's what he wants to be. He wants to be the highest paid player.
He doesn't care. He's not going to get a job at 7-Eleven when I don't make him the highest paid player.
But anybody else will probably – other teams will make him the highest paid player.
No, but I'm going to franchise him. I'm going to franchise him for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's the type of guy that will not play. He'll just sit
then
out.
I'm going to win. I'm going to win because he ain't playing. He ain't getting paid.
No, he's not going to sit out for 3 years. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not. No player is going to turn down $20 million. You only have a short life.
So let me ask you guys this.
Nobody's
done
it yet, right?
What the hell are the Jets doing? Tony, what are the Jets doing here? How do you make that trade, give up all that? And listen, kudos to them for being aggressive and doing something for their fan base. However,
this is
I don't understand this at all, because just philosophically, here's what I'm thinking. They have no idea who is going to be there at 3.
Exactly.
And in order for them to be able to do this, they have to basically say, we like all 3 guys, and anyone I'm comfortable with, because There is. It's different if you were picking one. Then I could understand, I want this guy, no matter what, I'm giving up everything I can to get this person. But they're not guaranteed to get anybody at this position. So how do you, they're actually happy to get any one of three? And is that like, how else can you, am I looking at it wrong?
No, I keep saying this. I don't understand how these guys get to be so rich and yet be so stupid. I was talking to Chris last week between the show. I said, I would have had the next day had the general manager in my office and said, explain to me how I gave up four picks and who I'm drafting on the draft day. And when he couldn't explain to me and he told me, oh, I like all three quarterbacks, I'll take whichever's left, he'd be fired. Because you can't trade all those draft picks and not have a person's name that you're going to draft.
I agree. He probably ran it by the owner first, though. You know, he didn't have to call him into the office. And secondly, you know, the Jets could actually be – I remember you on the show last week with me. You said it was the worst trade of all time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Jets are probably figuring that they're not getting the number one guy. They probably have two guys in mind that they really like, because the Giants may not go, especially now if they traded Pierre Paul. You think they might be going Chubb at number two. So you think Darnold's out of the way, and maybe they really like Josh Allen and think, you know, they can get him at number three.
Scott, there's no way in hell all three quarterbacks are going to be superstars. It hasn't happened in any draft in the history of the NFL. So for you to say...
No, they're lucky if one of them is.
Yeah.
If one of them is, that'll be a successful draft.
And I'll take either one. Yeah. That's insane. You can't think like that.
Well, you know what, though? When you look at the state of quarterback in the NFL, there ain't nothing you can get out there on free agency. This is a franchise that their highest profile quarterback since Joe Namath has been Tim Tebow. Their fans have been destroyed for years.
Then you don't pick one.
Franchise is a laughing stock. They're making an aggressive move to try to turn their fortunes around. It's either, you know what, you're right in the sense that it could go down wrong, but if they hit big, you know, people are going to look on back on
Scott,
this
I would agree with
around.
You if there was one guy that they wanted and they were guaranteed to be able to get that guy. Even if I disagreed with that, I would agree with you. But they're not guaranteed to get any person. Will still be there.
Scott, they could have. Yeah, you don't know what the Giants are saying.
You're thinking, Scott. What if the Giants make the trade? Even if you're right, Scott. What if the Giants trade the second pick?
Like I said, then they look like guys that they really, really like, and they've had a hard time deciding on it. Look, now fantasy ain't reality, right? Okay, so. But, you know, when you're a fantasy owner, there are two guys that you have a tough decision making on. The Jets could be there. Like, we really like two guys.
Fantasy's already established players.
No, but what I'm saying is the thought process is it'll put yourself in a dynasty league spot if you want to go that route. But the Jets might be thinking, my point is that they really like two of those guys so much they're splitting hairs that they'll take either one of them.
And you don't know what the wild card team is. Again, they're the Giants, and you don't know what they told you. Yes, they could be lying. Of course, they could be lying to you, but they had to have tried extremely hard to get to that two spot. They had to have. Let's get to the two spot. Let's be like the Eagles. If we miss out on Goff, we'll take Wentz, or vice versa, whatever. And if they're not dealing that two spot, and they say, listen, we have our eyes set, they're not going to tell you who, but they probably have a good idea. It could be Chubb, it could be Barkley, and then they get one of the two quarterbacks. Now, if we see Buffalo move up in the next couple days, get into that two spot, then I think that the Jets look awful for making that move. But if you're a Jets fan and you're looking at all the brutal quarterbacks that you've had over the years, and you're seeing Brady, an aging Brady, what's going on in Buffalo? No idea. Miami, Tannehill's like 30, hasn't showed us anything. Big Ben is aging. What's going on in the AFC North? Apart from that, Cleveland just got Tyrod Taylor. Dalton stinks. Flacco's brutal. What's happening with Colts? Luck can't even pick up a football. He's somewhere close to picking up a football. Are you kidding me? So there's a lot of aging quarterbacks in the NFL. Phillip Rivers is another one. Go and try to get a guy. You didn't even give up a first-round pick last. Next year, you still have your first.
But Chris, But my point is try to get a guy. But not just any guy. There isn't any one that's so clear above the other that you know who they're trying to get. That's not the case. They're just going to go for any one of the three that are there. I'm going to get one. I'm just making
so
sure
it's hard
I get
to,
one
did,
of them.
You just made my point. You said they're so close together. The thought process might be, man, we really like this guy and this guy. And well, you know what? We'll be happy with either one of them because we like two of them so much.
No.
So if the Bills move up to two and take Allen, for example, and that the Jets may be like, oh, now we're stuck with Rosen. Okay, we're fine. But you're right, Mike. They kind of have.
Maybe they might not be looking at it like we're stuck with Rosen. We like Allen and Rosen, and you know we're having trouble deciding between the two of them.
If you have a trouble deciding, I would be okay with your job.
Yeah. That's Tony, in summary,
all right, let me rephrase it. Not trouble to decide between two of them, but they really like both of them.
I don't know. Just to me, that they the fact that they can't control their destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're at.
The bottom line, if you think all three quarterbacks are the same, you probably should be picking a defensive end or running back because they can't all be three Hall of
Famers. If you got three, you got none. Whatever. All right, let's move on here. Daron Harmon going to Costa Rica, nabbed with 58 grams of marijuana hidden in an iced tea can. I don't know who, you know. A THC edible, three pipes with cannabis, and 4.3 grams of compressed marijuana. He then tweeted an apology, said, I'm sorry, and yada, yada, yada. Do you think he's really sorry? I mean, I
know.
Yeah, he's sorry he got caught. So, I don't know. Like, you know, I wonder if other countries are going to start, you know, we want to build a wall here. If other countries are going to start saying that we don't want Americans coming to our country. They're bringing in drugs and things.
This whole thing of Canada does. You can't go to Canada with a DUI for people out there that didn't know.
Why is that?
True.
I don't know.
We can't.
You guys are strict, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, no drinking and driving around here. But you can't get into the States either, right, though, with a DUI? Am I correct? No? Because I know a buddy of mine a few years ago, we were going to go to a bachelor party, and he had a DUI, and he couldn't get in.
Yeah, the tool man couldn't get in from the United. That's how I knew that. The tool man. What was his name? The guy who used to be the tool man?
Tim Allen?
Yeah, he couldn't get in.
Home improvement?
They let him in for $2,000, though. They waived the situation.
Hey, I got faked out. Listen to this. I just saw a headline. I clicked on Usain Bolt is trying out for a pro football team. That was the headline. I clicked on it.
Soccer.
Yeah, how about that? How do you think he would have worked out in 5 years ago, maybe? I mean, if he could run that fast and he's that huge, can't you just do what they did with Terrell Pryor 2 years ago? And he should have been better at that. He's taller and faster. Just run a fly pattern and just chuck it up to him? No?
I think he would have had a better season than Terrell Pryor last year if he put him on any other football team.
And here's how I know the Jets have no clue, because they just signed Terrell Pryor. And now they're going to take any one of three quarterbacks to try to throw him the ball.
But Pryor could be in the quarterback situation. Who knows? He might be throwing the ball to the Jets.
Not a bad move by the Jets, because look at all the depth that they're setting up in wide receiver. Terrell Pryor now becomes a role guy. You know, go down the field, run the post fly pattern. Then you say, you know, draft your quarterback. In the interim, you got McCown and Bridgewater. You know, this is what they're trying to set up. Look how deep the receiving crew could potentially be right now. When, you know, you have maybe Quincy Enunwa coming back, you have Robbie Anderson, you know, hopefully, you know, you got two guys that they drafted last year, including a Darius Stewart. So the Jets have some interesting depth there at wide receiver right now. He's going to become part of the scheme instead of being asked to be a starting guy.
We're taking Bradley Chubb. Psych. Yeah. Pryor is our quarterback.
Didn't the Jets Josh McDaniel and Dominic Sue?
Yeah, they got no idea what they're doing. They gave him a contract, and they rescinded the contract. And they just
Josh McDaniel them.
They probably gave him the contract, and the owner said, listen, I thought we were going to talk about all moves. When you moved up to the three spot, you didn't talk to me about that. Now you got this deal with Dominic and Sue. Get rid of that.
It's depressing enough as a Jets fan when they're on the field and they don't know what they're doing. But it's March, and they don't know what they're doing.
It's ownership down.
I guess. I don't know. Hey, did you see Danny Amendola broke up with the 2012 Miss Universe pageant winner? 25-year-old Olivia Culpo. You know what?
What's he thinking?
He didn't like that she posed nude in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Would you guys have a problem if your girl posed nude? And by the way, it's not nude. It's not like she was spread-eagled. You can't see anything.
Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue? That's not nude.
Yeah. She is nude. You know,
fired up.
You just cross your arms and you cover up the breasts. You cross your legs and she's nude.
Girl,
she's written on her body and stuff. You can't see
it. If my girl posed nude, you'd all be getting that issue for Christmas.
He's no J.J. Barea. When I interviewed J.J. Barea last month, the guy had a kid with Miss Puerto Rico and married a Miss Universe.
Anybody have a problem? Chris, you have a problem if your girl poses nude?
Nah, I'd be pumped, be fired up. Trying to show her off. Yeah. Look what I got. Danny should suck it up.
I agree with Chris.
I put cameras in the house.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
All righty, you're listening to Talking Trash here, a brand spanking new show here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As I mentioned last hour, some special programming news. We have a change to our programming schedule this week. You're going to hear the show two or three times in the morning through Thursday. Thursday starts Carton and Friends with Craig Carton, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It starts on MLB opening day. You'll be able to watch that show on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, Periscope, Mixer, Facebook, and wherever else you watch some video. You'll also hear it here live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. On Thursday, Governor Chris Christie and former Major League pitcher Al Leiter will be his guests to kick off the show, and away we'll go.
I thought he would have done better. He would have done better if Trump didn't run. Christie would have done better. Because he's, like, out there. But he makes sense to me. Like, he makes sense from a regular guy.
He would have just been done better if he stayed. I mean, he's still overweight. But if he just stayed grotesquely fat. People can relate to overweight people. A lot of people are overweight. Once you start dieting, you try to become normal and stuff. You're not a character anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like Christie. I'm going to listen to the show. He might not impart any wisdom on me, but it'd be like the other hosts on the channel, so it's no different.
Hey, anybody think Peyton Manning is going to fill John Gruden's analyst spot in the Monday night booth? Anybody? Peyton? Monday night?
I could see it happening. You know, Peyton's very beloved. You know, he's iconic.
Is he beloved or is it beloved?
Beloved. Yeah, he's very
beloved.
It's
not beloved?
Either way you want to say it is fine. But... Yeah, this guy's an iconic figure who definitely knows his football. I think it would actually be a perfect fit. It would kind of remind me, I think, wasn't Joe Namath in the booth, like, at one point in his career as well?
Yeah, I know he was kissing Susie Colbert on the sideline.
Yeah, well, quarterback see the game a certain way. It's, you know, to look at the terrific job that Tony Romo's done. He's a better announcer than he was a player.
Manning, though, has got a problem. He's got a problem. 2 years ago, it would be a lock. He'd get $10 million a year. I think they want to give him the job, but with this whole Me Too stuff, he's got some skeletons in his closet. I don't think ESPN wants.
Well, you don't like the teabagging, or you don't like the fact that he sold his stock in the pizza thing just before that went.
Those
news.
Are two things. And the third thing is his wife was the one that had steroids delivered to her the house, even though the doctor has a picture of Peyton Manning on his wall that sent it there that none of this is ever talked about, but which will all become big stories if ESPN signs this guy to a $10 million.
I don't care about steroids. Everybody's doing steroids.
The booth. If A-Rod can get in a booth, Peyton Manning definitely can.
No, you can't.
See,
no.
Like A-Rod. Well, let me say something.
A-Rod dragged balls over someone's face. A-Rod never dragged his balls over someone's
face. Apparently you can, Tony.
Maybe
he shot a needle into him.
No, I know, but I'm saying, Scott, if you haven't taken notice lately, people are hung up on men using their sexual powers to get away with things, and Peyton Manning is the guy that did it at the University of Tennessee.
Yes. Yeah, does
he get a pass
college,
because he was
supposedly.
A kid, though?
No, he doesn't get a pass. You know why he doesn't? He should have a pass. But because he wrote a book about it, and he put it in the book, then this thing all came to light again, and then he paid her off for a second time. He's just an a-hole.
I think what Tony said, I mean, this will come out if, you know, ESPN signs him or not. Everything that I read is that he didn't want to do the Monday Night Football, that he may just join Fox and the Sunday crew, but be interested to see who they bring in there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like their second option maybe would be like a Randy Moss or somebody else that's already on that ESPN crew.
I think Moss is lock stock in ESPN, yeah, so I could see him getting boosted maybe to the booth because he's done a very nice job. You want to have an iconic name in that booth if you can.
What is going on here? Kevin Purges, the 37-year-old associate equipment manager for the Georgia Bulldogs, was charged with 4 felonies Friday after being accused of stashing a hidden camera in the shower area of the team's facility.
What?
The trainer.
That's odd.
No, he's the associate equipment manager.
Oh, he was just keeping track of the equipment in the shower.
What is his actual true job? Like, yeah, his equipment. That's a bit much. It's a little disturbing, actually.
It is disturbing. Tony, what do you make of Michael Bennett? And my question here before, and I don't want to sound insensitive.
Yeah, this story is hot not
to. No, I don't want to understand insensitive. But how do you hire a 65-year-old woman that is a paraplegic to be a security guard to begin with?
Okay.
I just want to ask that question and put that out there.
So
how does that happen? I'm not condoning pushing somebody over, let alone a woman, let alone a woman who's a senior citizen. That's not my point. But how could she possibly do the job? Maybe if you have a gun, at least you could do it. But she didn't even have a gun on her.
No, see, your initial reaction's not wrong because I thought the same thing. But
I know, I'm going to come off insensitive, but it is what it is, my first thought.
These companies all hire handicapped people. So what they do is,
hire them to be a ticket taker.
No. Security is a big term. So she has a door. She sits at the door and says, show me your pass. You can go in or you can't go in.
And how is going to listen to her? She can't chase you down.
She's got a walkie-talkie.
Yep.
How did that work out?
He's right.
Not, you know,
when I go to Citi Field in front of the clubhouses, right, especially the visiting clubhouse, they have, you know, sometimes there's like an older woman that just sits in front of the clubhouse. She writes down your pass name and who you are and tells you whether you can get in or can't get in. And if you got a problem, there's like a 6'5" security guard like standing a few feet away.
You know what this reminds me of, Amy?
What's that?
Scott, you called Cardano Costanza earlier, that episode when there's a fire in the kitchen and George freaks out and he pushes all over the kids and pushes the older woman with, you know, pain, just
everybody
throws her across the room and everybody out of the room. Now, he's going to turn himself into custody today.
Yeah, apparently. So, Chris, you know what this is telling me? They've taken their own sweet time. They left no stone unturned. This is taking a long time to do this. He's going to jail. You don't wait a year and a half to press charges like this and then just say, okay, listen, what he did wasn't correct, obviously, and I'm not condoning it in any way, but at this point, for whatever reason, somebody has it out for him, and they're looking to get this guy behind bars. He is not playing for the Eagles this year. There's no way. Does anybody disagree with me?
He already had an incident in Las Vegas, you know, that was caught on film. And you know, it's interesting, too, because, you know, he's got a new book coming out, and he's supposed to be doing a book tour. You know, I think that the timing is bad for the publicity of all of this. But, you know, I agree with you. The league, at the very least, I think the league is going to discipline him hard. You know, maybe he doesn't play like 4-6 games for the Eagles. I don't know how it's going to shake out. We never know how these things shake out legally or with the league.
This might be insensitive again, but Ray Rice beat up a healthy, attractive 20-something-year-old woman. Think about it. He was out of football for a year. This guy knocked over a 66-year-old woman.
Tony, there's double standards going all around the NFL these days. Think about this. The NFL, actually on their Twitter account, is actually promoting Johnny Manziel's comeback. They're tweeting about it. They're tweeting his workout. They have videos of it. They never punished him for his domestic violence charge. Nothing. Not a thing. But Colin Kaepernick does a workout, and there's no video. Nobody shows up for it. They're not tweeting it out. And so there's a lot going on in the NFL. You know, listen, I can make accusations like this because I'm Caucasian. But it is. It's true. It is what it is. Nobody is giving Colin Kaepernick the time of day. They're actually promoting Johnny Manziel and his possible comeback. They went to his pro day. They took video. And NFL.com Twitter account tweeted it out. I think that's nuts.
It's an absolute joke. And Manziel sucks. He's not great he played good in college. Like, there's been one quarterback in the last 15 years drafted so early as Manziel, under 6 feet tall. I mean, he doesn't have the tools. And then I see Drew Stanton sign a 2-year deal, you know, to join the Browns. And Colin Kaepernick can't find a job. All the mediocre quarterbacks that we saw last year come in, and all the backups and the backups come in and can't get the job done. Geno Smith's another guy that we talked about briefly. It's crazy, Mike. I can't believe that Colin Kaepernick can't find a job in the NFL.
I don't understand why you can't believe it, because I live here in Jacksonville, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's two military bases in the city of Jacksonville, and there's another one 30 minutes away.
Well, for that reason, he wouldn't get signed there, ever.
That's what I'm saying. They would lose half their season ticket holders if they signed him. So I think other teams have the same problem.
But, Tony, listen, the people in America aren't dumb. I understand, I don't agree with any of it. However, his protest had nothing to do with the military. He was trying to bring attention to something else.
I agree with you somewhat, but I don't know any person over 40 that doesn't think kneeling for the national anthem isn't a shot at the military. You take your hat off and you always salute the people that have served and the people that got hurt in this country.
I can't disagree.
I think he screwed up his message.
He's right.
I think made it more about and told people up front, this is about protest against police brutality, everyone would have agreed with him.
Then he goes to Miami and he wears a Fidel Castro T-shirt. You know.
Let me go around the desk. Does Eric Reed get a job? Scott, you first.
I'm going to say no.
Wow. Chris?
He would have got it. He would have got it already.
Yeah, I agree. No.
Tony?
Yes, because this would be... if he didn't get a job, I'm trying to figure out the equivalent.
His caliber of play, he's not a scrub. Yeah.
He has to get a job.
Yeah, why I agree with Tony is you could find plenty of reasons to make the argument on why you shouldn't sign Colin Kaepernick to your team. It has nothing to do with him not being one of the 64 best quarterbacks.
Right.
You could make arguments it's not the right fit. We don't want the circus. We don't want the backup being better than the starter and the questions in the locker room. You can make plenty of reasons. But once you have two people who are highly qualified to play at the level that you refuse to sign, now it's a thing. Now it's collusion. And to me, somebody, if he doesn't get signed, now there's an issue. Would you guys agree or no?
Huge. And I think it only takes one owner, and as soon as there's an injury, and you say, we got to bring him in. I mean, so it's going to happen. He's got to play. He's too good. I mean, the guy could make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. We saw with Kaepernick last year, we thought the Ravens were on the verge of signing him, and you know, they got told from all reports that they shouldn't do it. You know, and to Tony's point about the guys over 40 in the military, I had a friend who was one of the most passionate New England Patriot fans you would ever want to see, did not miss a second of a game, lived his life around the Patriots. The guy's going to serve in Saudi Arabia next month. He's one of my best friends. When all the kneeling stuff started, he completely swore off the NFL, and that was in his blood.
So yeah, the NFL owners,
he went about it the wrong way. And
the owners are at the annual meetings. They're kind of divided on what to do about the whole national anthem issue. So, it doesn't appear they're going to actually do anything. You know what's really weird about this? I don't really understand. It's the game is not a government sponsored game. The Congress didn't officially adopt the Star Spangled Banner until 1931. I don't know why you have to play the national anthem before a sporting event. I get it in schools. I get it, but as a public, I just don't understand why you have to do it. I don't see what they have to do with each other. What is people playing a game for profit have to do? If it was nonprofit, I would get it. Like, why did they have to play it at all? It wasn't always played, by the way. There's a great book you guys should all read. It's called Star Spangled Banner, The Unlikely Story of America's National Anthem. Mark Ferris is the author. You guys will all be better for it if you read it. The earliest documented performance of the Star Spangled Banner occurred on May 15th, 1862. And after that, it was just an intermittent thing. The first time they really played it was the 1918 World Series, September 5th, between the Cubs and the Red Sox, and we were at war, and it was a wartime thing. But we haven't been constantly at war since 1918, so I don't understand it. Like, why do they have to play it before every game?
I think it's pretty simple, because it's, you know, baseball, and these sports are American. And, you know, in America, we have...
It's not baseball, it's just football.
I said baseball and other sports, all these other sports, because nothing consists of more American than baseball, but the freedom to play these games, the freedom to go see these games. You know, this is what these games are, what makes America unique.
Tony?
It's a great question. I think it's one of those situations that there is no good reason. So basically what they decided to do is not change anything, because then they feel like the other side wins. So I think it's kind of crazy what's going on now.
Yeah, I mean, it almost just seems like it's kind of tradition, Mike. I mean, you said they've been doing it for years.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this. You're Canadian. How do the Canadians look at this? How does somebody far that's not in America look at this whole damn thing?
It's a little silly, to be honest. People are kneeling. I mean, you'd ever see that here in Canada. No one would kneel, but I think it'd be the same thing. Like, you know, what Tony's talking about, and Scott touched on it a little bit, older guys who are in the military, I think that they would be offended by it for certain. Guys are fighting every day, and, you know, they're overseas doing things, and they would certainly take offense to it. And I understand it all. I get it. But it's still a little silly at the end of the day. Like, and what's the NFL going to do? What are they going to do? They can't tell people to stand or kneel. I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's not it's an NFL issue, but it's much bigger than that.
I guess. Listen, we're going to have plenty of baseball coming up this week. We'll have baseball coming out your rear end. We've got Tiger's wife listed her house, his ex-wife, for $49.5 million, Tony, over by you. It's got 18 bathrooms. Why does anybody need 18 bathrooms?
Like, Tiger...
How many times can you take a shit?
Like even if you're a guy like Tiger Woods, I don't like that many people to have 18 people in the bathroom at one time. Do you know 18 people you'd have over your house?
Tiger does.
Well, it's not his house. It was his wife's house. She built the house after that she left him.
Probably has big parties.
She does?
Yeah.
Stroke player match play.
She probably serves a lot of salad.
Stroke player match play at those parties.
And with that, we'll sign off. Thank you, everyone. This has been Talking Trash. We'll be with you every morning. Craig Carton starts this Thursday, 9 to 1 Eastern, every day. So I'm sure you'll all be excited to listen to that. Talk to you tomorrow.